you.
Hangover today.
For once, we've made it to our Saturday 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time radio show, Freaks to the Front on RadioValencia.fm. We made it.
Here we are.
Here we are. You want to tell us a little bit about what that first track you played?
Yeah. So, this is DJ Lento,
and this is DJ Lesta,
and this was Ornella Vanoni. Rest in peace, huge artist from Italy, like truly an icon and very like blunt person, kind of old-fashioned, good, radical, liberal artist from Italy. that did a lot of stuff in her life. But one thing that always characterized her is that she was really genuine with everybody. And I was just laughing so much this morning because I was watching all this video recapping all the things weird that she said on TV and stuff like that. But I mean, it's hard to explain here because this is it in Italian, of course. But yeah, this song actually is from a pretty cool record with Toquinho and Vinicius de Moraes. So I don't know, back in, this is from 1976, this was La Voglia La Pazzia from L'Incoscienza. The record is called La Voglia La Pazzia L'Incoscienza Allegria, which is the name.
And what does that mean?
The La Voglia, how do you translate that? Mm-hmm. Like when you're craving something.
Okay.
But not craving food, craving craziness, you know, like craving.
Okay. I would still say sexiness. You could still say craving.
Yeah, craving the craziness, the inconscience, and the joy, allegria. Perfect.
Sounds great.
Yeah. So, yeah. Goodbye, Ornella. You are in my heart, and every person in Italy loves you. If they don't, it sucks for them. And your music will always live beyond you. Thank
you. Beautiful tribute.
Although today we have a different vibe in mind.
Yeah.
Mostly by DJ Lest. So I'll let you talk about this before we get into the music.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't really ever know how to describe the vibe that I'm looking for. It's more just a feeling. And yesterday, as I was sort of thinking about the show, I think you were making some music, DJ Lento, and I was thinking about the show, trying to prepare a little bit more than we usually do, because we're usually not very prepared.
God, who is she?
Wow, she has a beautiful voice.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, everyone. That was a show from last week, no, the week before, that we tricked you. You thought we weren't here, but we are. Yeah. Because the same show played again last week when we were not here.
Was it the, oh yeah, it was,
I think it was the same
one.
Show, yeah, because we listened to it in the car on our way back from the middle of nowhere. But hello, everyone. Happy Saturday once again. We've got a sunny but chilly Saturday here in the Mission at RadioValencia.fm. Ooh. I am DJ Lesta.
This is DJ Lento.
You're listening to Freaks to the Front. Every Saturday from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m., we are here live in the studio, unless we are not. And today we've got a pretty cool show for you.
Yeah.
We just finished watching Twin Peaks, The Return, the third season. And, you know, the music from Twin Peaks, the original seasons, was already iconic enough. But you know, from the beginning, as we were watching that, and you had seen it before, and I had, like, sort of vaguely seen it before, you were telling me, you know, the music is amazing, but it's the same music over and over in every episode, which I kind of liked thematically. I think a lot of people like thematically, but we did have a lot of fun watching and listening to the music on season 3, The Return. David Lynch changed it up a bit, and we got to see a Twin Peaks town favorite establishment, the Roadhouse, suddenly blowing up with all different artists who were
kind of like, it became a local chapel. I feel
it did become sort of like the chapel. Probably some of the bands that played at the Roadhouse in Twin Peaks season 3
could be
probably have played at the chapel. I would be very surprised if not one of them had.
They'd all be signed on folk, yeah.
But as we get ourselves settled here a few minutes late in the studio on 22nd Street here in the Mission, we're going to get you started with the original Twin Peaks theme by David Lynch and Angelo Badalamenti. And
yeah, so relax. Today it's going to be Yeah, mostly music from there. And so since, you know, we couldn't cover the whole show with that, my idea was like, okay, let's, I mean, I have a certain idea of, I mean, I love David Lynch, and it has, he had, rest in peace, a whole vibe around, you know, whatever he did.
For sure.
Not only we'll listen to specifically tracks from the last season, which are a little like less like just Badalamenti focused, but there's more artists that I like Lynch was a fan of and, you know, makes sense to be in the season. But also we will have some other songs and bands that we think could fit in that vibe.
Absolutely.
And so we'll get a, you know, a little journey through the songs of the third season of Twin Peaks.
And then we'll spend the second half of the show on
just
songs that could have been.
Imagine the fourth season.
Yeah, I wish.
Oh, man.
All right. For now, enjoy the Twin Peaks theme, and followed by the first song played at the Roadhouse in episode two, part two of season three, The Return, which is Shadow by Chromatics. And we'll talk to you in a few.
See you soon. Thank you.
This is the well. Drink full and descend. The horse is the white of the eyes and dark within. This is the water, and this is the well. Drink full and descend. The horse is the white of the eyes and dark within.
So I hope you appreciated the little Easter egg. I'm not gonna specify what was that, but if you know, you know. If you watch the third season, which, by the way, I had already watched, and a lot of people, I mean, I just wanted to align with DJ Lester on why I think the third season is the best season.
I'm not sure how popular or unpopular an opinion that is, because since I wasn't like sort of part of the Twin Peaks fan base majorly until watching it this time around, when I actually was like paying attention, I didn't know, you know, I don't know what people's general opinions are on it. I would love to hear your opinions if you have them. But I enjoyed it, but I struggled with it. And I can't really give spoilers, but I will say that, like, David Lynch is famous for not giving the people what they want.
Basically.
Which is hard for me, because I can appreciate the art, but I also like when things are tied up in a bow, and I like when things, have a feel-good, you know, resolution and all of that. And so when things are left up in the air, which they are, you know, throughout everything that he's done, from my understanding, and I haven't seen everything that he's done, but that's hard for me.
No, I get it. And again,
it stresses me out. I have like dreams about it, and I'm just like, I wish that I knew. I want everything to be okay.
Yeah. But that's not David Lynch.
Exactly.
Like, so I watched a documentary about him after he passed away, which I think it came out even before his death, but I don't know. He was sick for some time. I mean, he smoked cigarettes like a chimney. And, like, he, you know, he definitely wasn't, like, having like healthy lifestyle, and so he was probably like sick for some time, and I don't know, maybe it wasn't public, but you know, it was kind of known that he wasn't gonna be around for much longer. But yeah, even if you look at his art, I mean, he's such a polyedric artist. Like, he was doing paintings, was doing sculptures, and a lot, actually. Especially after watching that documentary and rewatching the third season, a lot of the imagery of his paintings is in the third season. And, you know, just even the technical aspect of it, like being like literally 25 years later, and, you know, the second season ends by showing Laura Palmer in the Black Lodge.
No spoilers.
I mean, second season, whatever. It ends by her saying, I'll see you, Cooper, in 25 years.
Yeah.
And then 25 years later, after nobody knows what happened to Cooper and all that, like, that all unfolds. And so, anyway, I don't know. I think I appreciate the art and the artist behind it. Beside what's the ultimate, I don't know, whatever you want to make of it, you know, like how you perceive it, I don't think it matters.
Well, for
not you specifically, in general.
But I think that what I struggle with is that I become attached to characters and their storylines, yeah. And I start feeling like characters are my friends, and I care about them like they are real people. And I think that that's one of the reasons why, like, I love sitcoms and you don't, you know. Basically, like, not that, that's why you don't love them, but like it, that comes from my, like, me loving sitcoms. I don't love all sitcoms, but shout out to Community, which is my favorite sitcom, and and shout out to Bridget, who is like my oldest best friend, who's listening to this show right now for the first time. Welcome. Woo! Bridget. And she introduced me to community, and it is the best. But
was she in the radio show with you?
No. No, we didn't go to college together.
Oh, okay.
We grew up together.
Okay.
DJ Lento can't keep anything straight. I have too many people that I love and too many different chapters of my life. So I will just say that because of, like, loving those types of shows and movies, like even loving like comedies and things like that, is that I think it makes me feel like I am part of it and that I'm friends with them. And so when I don't see what I want to happen to them, or, you know, like I don't see things resolve in the way that I hope that they will, or in a way that's satisfying for me, that makes it really hard. And so anyway, I don't want to give any spoilers about Twin Peaks while we do this show, but I think that something that I also do as a result of this sort of feeling attached to the characters is that I do a lot of Googling about the cast, and are the cast of this friends, and who is this person's best friend from the cast of true. Whatever. I do that.
So what's your...
So this morning, as we were working on this show, which shout out to us for finally actually working on a show in advance.
Being wasted for... Exactly. This is the second time, so it's been pretty good.
Yes, but we actually, we worked on this a little bit and talked about the theme in advance. So although a lot of the work was also done for us by David Lynch, shout out. But I Googled David Lynch and Angelo Badalamenti's friendship, and one of the things that it said is that as a non-musician, and so David Lynch was sort of a jack of many trades within the arts, but not a musician, and that he would describe the feelings the feeling and the mood and the, like, all of the different elements that he wanted in music, and then Angelo Badalamenti would start playing it and would tweak it until it was the exact thing that was part of David Lynch's sonic vision. So
that's also why, you know, I think it makes so much sense to speak of in this case Twin Peaks, but like David Lynch videography in general from the music point of view, because he was a huge music head. He liked a lot of stuff, and he also wanted, you can tell that there's a sort of a common thread through all the music and all the vibes that he wants to conceive through his show and his movies as well. They were together for... not together. I mean, they worked together for a long time. And the other big friend of Lynch was Kyle
McLaughlin.
Wait, no?
Yes, Kyle McLaughlin.
McLaughlin?
Yes, who played played Agent Cooper, yes.
McLaughlin? McLaughlin. Kyle McLaughlin. That's...
Yes, no, that's how it's pronounced, Kyle McLaughlin.
What?
Yes.
McLaughlin.
It's the Scottish spelling of the Irish name. McLaughlin. Maybe it's McLaughlin, but I call McLaughlin.
McLaughlin,
whatever.
Is someone else. Anyway, the
McLaughlin.
Doesn't make any sense, you guys. Like, that stupid island. Where were we? So let's keep listening. We'll have more about the show. In fact, there's a very cool... So one other thing, and then I'm going to continue with the music. But so going back to the fact that a lot of things in Twin Peaks sort of seem or kind of are a bit random. Like, they don't really... They're kind of, like, out of context, or they, like, he... show you these scenes and then you're kept there thinking, like, what's going on, like, why this is happening here or in this moment. But there's a nice wiki about Twin Peaks called if you go to twinpeaks.fandom.com, there's a wiki that spans over the whole three seasons, and I think it's very useful to sort of keep track of what's happening in the show. And I kept referring to that, you know, since it was the second time, I was like, okay, I really want to keep track and understand what's going on here.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of material there, and, you know, a lot of characters are shown in there and described, and they show you where, in which episode it goes into.
It's sort of like the canon of the series, you know, things that are, like, known that aren't, like, specifically spoken. Did I use canon correctly?
Shout
out to me for using canon correctly. It's like one of my favorite words, but I never use it right. So
cool. Shout out to Lesta for her.
I'm always trying to I'm always trying to squeeze the word canon into my into, you know, statements that I'm making. And my friends Ben and Rory, shout out to Ben and Rory, the only two friends of mine who I had the radio show with. Well, except Sarah, who sometimes was on the show with us. They always make fun of me for not knowing how to use the word canon. So, shout out to them for making fun of me. Anyway, let's move on to some more music, because we got a long track list for you guys today.
Yeah, and we're already late.
So, we had Angelo Badalamenti with the Twin Peaks theme, followed by Chromatics with Shadow, which was the first band and song to play at the Roadhouse in part two, in Twin Peaks season 3. Episode 2, part 2.
So next we have the Cactus Blossoms. I don't know this band. Did you hear them?
I didn't know this band before? Either.
Okay. And this is Mississippi. Did I pronounce that correctly?
You did.
Mississippi.
M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-P-P-P.
Well done.
I don't know. Okay. And this is Mississippi from Your Dreaming. Yeah. Cool.
Enjoy.
I'm going down to the sea. M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P. Yellow and brown. Sing
Great. Thank you very much. That was the Cactus Blossoms with Mississippi. With Mississippi. That was from the third episode, I believe, of Twin Peaks Season 3, The Return. We're here on Freaks to the Front on RadioValencia.fm. This is DJ Lesta.
This is DJ Lento.
And if you are just tuning in, we are doing an episode today about the third season of Twin Peaks, how the music changed in that 25 years later, that season that starts 25 years after the second season ends. And the music sort of took a very big turn in between those two seasons. So at this point, we are going through basically episode by episode to listen to and talk about some of the music that some of the artists we knew, some of them we did not know, like that the band the Cactus Blossoms, whose last song that was, and you know, the music that we've discovered also through that third season, and then the second half of our episode will be spent on some songs that could have been in that, some songs that fit the vibe, and DJ Lento put together a lot of that half because he's been a big David Lynch fan for longer than I have, and I'm looking forward to hearing what he's put together. But in the meantime, we are going to keep it moving with a band called Au Revoir Simone from the fourth episode of the season. They played at the Roadhouse. They played this track, Lark. So we hope that you enjoy it. We will be back after this track and the following one, Snake Eyes by Trouble, right here on RadioValencia.fm in the Mission, coming to you live.
Yeah. We should definitely try to look some of these. I mean, we should dig more into some of these.
Yeah, that band was pretty cool. That song was sick. I don't really remember that specifically from the show, but it's pretty cool seeing that.
Yeah.
Or hearing that gives a little bit of the sort of almost like Budos band meets Morphine.
Actually, yeah, I was just thinking about Morphine.
Yeah,
listening to that and
stop multitasking.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm also not good at multitasking.
You're the worst multitasker like, I've ever met.
I'm a mono. Yeah.
Yeah. You like are he's monotask. The type of person who like if he's looking at his phone, he can't hear me. It like truly he can't hear me. It's super annoying.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, we're gonna keep moving on this episode because we did get started a little bit late, so we're almost at that hour mark, and yeah, we want to be able to get through some significant number of songs today. We probably won't get through it all, but we're gonna keep going with the playlist that we have, the track list that we have started of songs from the third season of Twin Peaks, bands that played at the Roadhouse specifically in this season.
So
I was just going to say we've been discussing, you know, David Lynch and his evolution of music in the season that started 25 years after the show had ended. And so luckily I did not have to wait any years in between because I just watched all of it at once. But a really cool thing that we got to see was that Nine Inch Nails played on stage at the Roadhouse, probably the biggest band that played on stage except for a cameo of Eddie Vedder later on in the show. We would never play Eddie Vedder on this show except because we have to play all the bands that played at the Roadhouse. We'll talk more about our distaste for him and his music, mostly his music. I don't know anything about him as a person, except that he makes music that I don't like, which probably means I don't
like him.
It's
not even the music, it's just his voice.
It's his voice. Oh my God, I hate Pearl Jam. But we'll talk more about that later. We got to see Nine Inch Nails, but I think we were a little too fucked up to appreciate it. This was at Boston Calling. Also, no shout out to Boston Calling. Boston Calling is like the worst sucks. Music festival ever.
Yeah, seriously, like the worst put together lineup
and
ever.
Worst put together festival. Like it's not aesthetically pleasing
like
at all.
Stupid bros.
Oh my God! Like, just Boston people, but not our people.
Yeah. No. I mean, honestly, I like Nine Inch Nails. I'm not like a big fan of Nine Inch Nails. I'm not that much into industrial stuff, but you know, I respect Trent Reznor a lot as an artist. He's a big synth head also, and you know, he is a big producer. He wrote music for a lot of stuff. Actually, we realized that we were watching The Bear.
Right.
And there were a couple of songs from this EP that they released during the pandemic.
In the last season of The Bear, there was a lot of Nine Inch Nails playing.
It was,
and it was several songs, right?
But it was like very chilled songs, almost like ambient stuff, just piano, and I forgot the names. But yeah, they played that two songs like pretty often.
Was that Nine Inch Nails or was it Trent Reznor solo?
No, it was Nine Inch Nails.
Okay,
it's sort of like an EP that they released during the pandemic, and in fact is way more delicate, to use Stanley Tucci.
Oh my God, his most annoying only way to describe food. Also a non-shout out to Stanley Tucci.
That's okay.
It's okay. He's fine. He's just like not Anthony Bourdain.
Right. I was kind of surprised. I forgot about the fact that Nine Inch Nails was in Twin Peaks. But it makes so much sense. They're so dystopic, like in a lot of those. And by the way, there's also there's the full band in the show playing a whole song. Pretty this one that we're about to hear. She's Gone Away, and also shout out to Alessandro Cortini, which I saw live, and he's been like a staple in that band for a long time.
What does he play in the band?
he's like a synth guy, okay, slash keyboard, sometimes guitar. I mean, he's also like a super cool
multi-instrumentalist.
Yeah, and I saw him live in Boston, actually, with Justin.
Shout out to Justin.
And so just to give you... And like the first thing that I said, looking at that band playing Twin Peaks, was like, "Oh, I wonder if Alessandro Cortini is in there." And then I spot him in the band. But yeah, this guy is one of the probably the only person recently, along with Tom Erb, that has been designing synthesizers with Make Noise, which is one of the biggest and coolest synth brand around right now.
You got a lot of their stuff.
Anyway, let's keep going because, again, we have a lot of music lined up. We probably have to do two episodes on this.
Well, we'll be done with the Twin Peaks part, but we'll have...
Yeah, maybe we'll do another episode on...
What could have been.
The fourth season of Twin Peaks. That I will direct.
And so what do we got up next?
So yeah, Nine Inch Nails with She's Gone Away from Not the Actual Events record. Enjoy. We'll be right back. you like this song, huh?
I do, I do. And I also don't really listen to much Nine Inch Nails. I mean, but that is a cool song. I like the heaviness of it. I also like that it's got that sort of like morphine-esque, what was that, baritone sax in it at some point?
No. There's a guitar. There's
no. There was at some point.
That